Each week here at Daleville Christian Church, we affirm our faith together. And we do that from the Word of God. This affirmation of our faith from Romans, the 8th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verses. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Word of God for today is from the letter to the Ephesians, letter to the church in Ephesus. In the first chapter, the first 13 verses, and here we see the opening of the apostle's letter to the church in Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. A blessed Father's Day to everyone. Now, I have the feeling that I preached on this topic before, but I looked through my Father's Day messages and didn't find it. This raises the question, do I remember what I've said? I believe that I do. It's been said of the great composer Mozart that he remembered every note of music that he ever wrote. However, when the composer Schubert was played one of his own compositions, he said that he would like to meet the man who wrote that piece of music. Now, once in a while, I do not recognize my own words if I go to read them. Maybe that means they come from the Lord. But today we talk about fathers, but we talk about a special segment of fathers. Today we talk about fathers who adopt children or who have adopted their children. In this country, adoption is not prevalent. Of parents, or in our case, dads, 2% have children through adoption. Just 2%. Now, so we can be on the same page. Adoption in this country has changed, and I quote the Donaldson Adoption Institute. The world of adoption has radically changed over the past decade. Declines in international adoption, for example, Guatemala and Russia, used to allow adoptions out of their countries. I myself have a good friend with two Russian children living in Illinois, but now it is impossible to do that, to adopt children out of Russia or Guatemala. So there have been declines in international adoption. There is the impact of the internet and social media, the movement of access to information, including original birth certificates and tools like genetic testing. The shift to more openness and the spread of marriage equality are just some of the elements of the changing landscape of adoption, as well as the changing landscape of the modern American family. Now, you might be wondering why, on Father's Day, is the pastor talking about adoptive fathers who are just 2% of American parents? But you know why. You know why I'm talking about this. You know why I'm going to talk about this, because it's in the Bible. Of course, the pastor at Daleville Christian Church is going to talk out of the Bible. You might be interested to know a few more facts about U.S. adoptions. Most adoptions are for children, not infants. Only 6% of adopted children are under the age of 3 years. Most adoptions are for children older than 3 years. I perhaps should also mention that there are adoptions among people in this congregation and families who have been a part of this congregation. I myself have made recommendations for several families in order for them to adopt children. And when I thought about it, there are no adoptions in my extended family, none in Deb's family either. In my family, in McManus family, I guess we make our own problems. But what I bring to the sermon today is the Bible and my own experience with families. But I confess that I have the greatest admiration for adoptive parents, and especially for adoptive dads. Adoption is mentioned, but only 5 times in the New Testament. And all of those statements in the Bible where adoption is mentioned are listed for you in the sermon notes, and for anyone who listens from the website, those sermon notes are included on the page where you found the sermon. But those 5 scriptures are important, and in a little bit I'll tell you why those 5 mentions of adoption in the New Testament are important. Now, there isn't a lot of information on adoption in ancient times. Certainly in modern times, there is much more paperwork and red tape. But 2 things are very clear in adoption, whether ancient or modern. First of all, you have to want to have children. And secondly, you have to want that particular child. Birth parents or birth mothers may or may not have wanted a child at the time when they became pregnant. Birth parents or birth mothers may or may not have wanted that particular child when that child was born. But 2 things are very clear in adoption. You have to want to have children, and you have to want that particular child. We know that many abortions in this country take place because the mother feels that she cannot afford a child, or that she cannot afford another child, or she believes that her childbirth days are done and over. And by the way, those statistics are available as to why women or parents choose abortion. You can find those online. Adoption is clearly a case where the parent wants a child and a parent wants a particular child. And now here is why talking about these 5 verses from the New Testament are important. There are only 5 references to adoption in the entire New Testament, and all of them are about God adopting you. These 5 verses in the New Testament are about God adopting you. We talk about dads today. We talk about adopting dads today. Your God is an adopting dad, and you are his child. Your God is an adopting dad, and you are his child. And what is true of adopting dads is true about our God. God wants to be a dad, and God wants to be your dad. God is adopting you as his child because God wants you as his child. That is what the Bible says. Now, not just anyone and everyone is adopted by God. Romans 8 states clearly that you have to have Jesus Christ in you in order to be adopted. Romans 8:10. Jesus came to make you God's child, but you have to receive Jesus in order to be adopted. We first have to say yes to our Lord's offer, Jesus' offer of redemption, Jesus' offer of salvation. Those who say yes to the salvation and redemption offered by our God through Jesus Christ, then you can be adopted. But the apostle says that if you don't have Christ, then you can't be adopted. Romans 8, verses 9 and 14. But this Romans passage helps reveal another aspect of adoption and family. Paul knows that we all think of family as being decided by biology. I am Mozzie McManus's son because my mother and father birthed me, physically, biologically. Paul would say that I am a son of Mozzie by the flesh. But Paul emphasizes that we followers of Jesus are not of the flesh. Because of Jesus, we don't live according to the flesh, we live according to the Spirit. So we are not children of God according to the flesh. God did not birth us by flesh, but God birthed us by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. That is a reminder that none of us is born a child of God. No one is born a child of God. No one is born a child of God. Being born, simply being born, does not make anyone a child of God. God makes us his children. God makes us God's children through Jesus Christ. Simply being born does not make us God's child. The Apostle John would say that we're not born children of God until we are born again. And we are not God's children unless we are born again. You see, in our culture today, too many loosely declare that we are all God's children. The Bible says no one is God's child by simply being born. Jesus said we have to be born again. And then and only then are we God's children. Now, we are all born in the flesh, in the image of God. That's in the Bible. But that does not make us children of God. It only makes us in the image of God. Now, for those who are God's child in Jesus Christ, the Bible verses today are for us. The verses today say that God's love for us is according to the good pleasure of his will. As author Chip Ingram writes, God loves you personally, God loves you specifically, and God loves you individually. God loves you, as St. Augustine said, God loves you as if you were his only child. Now, no adopted child made the decision to be adopted. The decision was made for them by the parent. The same is true for God's adoption of us. It was never our decision, and we couldn't make that adoption happen. God made our adoption happen according to the good pleasure of his will, Ephesians says. Author Max Lucado said it well, I've heard of unplanned pregnancies, but I've never heard of an unplanned adoption. And that's true, isn't it? You and I have heard of unplanned pregnancies, but we've never heard of an unplanned adoption. Your adoption by the Heavenly Father was planned and provided for. Without getting into it too much, that's why the apostle states that it was predestined. God planned it, and when God plans something, it will happen. God wanted to be a dad, God wanted to have children, and God wanted you as his child. God has adopted you, God sought you, found you, signed the papers in the blood of Jesus. God signed your adoption papers in the blood of Jesus, and then God brought you home. Now the apostle goes on to say, you will inherit. That's why the emphasis on sonship. I know people get all bent out of shape about men and women and gender-specific words, and especially get bent out of shape about gender-specific words in the Bible. But it's sonship because in the ancient world, sons inherited. Jesus makes us all sons because we are all going to inherit. That's why the apostle uses those terms. In the ancient world, the sons were the inheritors of property. You will be inheritors of God's kingdom. And 1 John will say, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Those are the apostles' words. That is what we are. I would have you notice that God's love is not generic. In addition to the love, which same love God has for all creation, God chooses to adopt us. God chooses to adopt you. God is not adopting the animals. God is adopting you. You and I can adopt a pet. God is adopting an heir of his kingdom. God is adopting his own child, you, that you may inherit the kingdom. Quoting 2 Samuel chapter 7, quoted again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where God says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. One other point, and I wish I could remember where I read it. We are adopted. Nowhere in all of God's Word is there any mention of unadopting anyone. We are adopted. Nowhere in all of God's Word is there any mention of unadopting anyone. I invite you to look. Find it. Email it to me. In all of God's Word. And if unadoption were possible, you'd think that would come up somewhere in God's Word, yes? It's not there. There is only one mention, if you look at the King James Version of the Bible, it says that God would disinherit Israel. But God never did disinherit Israel. We are adopted. We are adopted because of Jesus Christ, and that is what God wanted. Nowhere in all of God's Word is there any mention of unadopting anyone. To you, children of the living God, a blessed and happy Father's Day. Amen.